Brian and Katie singing that. Good morning. It's Risenstein. It's Victory 91.5. And let me tell you something. When Ray Haynes speaks, people listen.
At least four people.
Just over the past few years, you coming in and teaching on the feasts and the holidays has been so impactful, especially for us, because we get to hear things we've never heard before. Second Passover a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard about that. So today, 50 days after Passover, 50 days since you came in to teach on the Passover, we welcome Ray Haynes, our general manager, to teach on Pentecost.
On Pentecost, which I love to teach on. It's funny, I think every feast is my favorite when I'm doing it. It's hard not to be excited. That's why the second Passover, that was actually the first time I had ever done it before. And so I get it. I found it fascinating. Mm. And it spoke deep into my life. And this year, as we look at Pentecost in this year of 5777, it adds some more very cool, exciting things as well. So I'm really excited to be here as well. It's the, in addition to being called Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot. Either way you look at it, it's a very exciting time. The number 50 is really significant because you're counting 50 days. And basically 50 means freedom. Mm. Now, there is one thing. Anytime you talk Pentecost, you pretty much have to realize there is so much contention around different elements of Pentecost. It just is what it is. Even to the fact of today, technically, it's not 50 days yet. This particular Pentecost, this Shavuot, is counted by the Jews who do not believe in Jesus. So they count from the Passover that follows, they count from the Sabbath that follows Passover, which is the next day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means... And it's always been a contention. The other choice is the Sabbath, which is the normal Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night. But what happened, of course, after Jesus rose from the dead is if they choose to continue to do that, it gives Jesus 3 days to raise from the dead. And so many Jews were being converted in that first century.
Right.
So they pretty much said, let's not do that anymore.
Okay.
So that was a big part of that contention. But that's not it. That's just the Jewish part of the contention. For Christians, we, of course, have Pentecost, and that means the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And as you could imagine, that area of contention has been massive, splitting churches, dividing friendships, just making people feel like, I don't understand. Mm. So it's a tough issue. Really exciting if you can, you know, kind of lay down all of that and just allow God just to speak to you and move in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, if you can lay down all the contentions, Pentecost is learning to better hear the voice of God. Mm. And in my life, been baptized in the Holy Spirit 34 years ago. And I'd have to say that's the number one thing, is the ability to hear the voice of God, discovering that he's your helper. That's, for me, pretty huge. It's learning not to just study him, but to encounter him, to be filled by him continually. So I want you to think about the menorah, all right? Mm-hmm. It's a seven-branch candelabrum. It's got seven candles in a straight row. You've seen them in stores. You've seen them all over the place, probably.
Not to be confused with the eight for Hanukkah. There's two menorahs.
Correct.
Okay.
This is not the one you use in December. This one is the most common one, which is seven. The reason there's seven is you'll notice the middle one is always off by itself, sometimes set apart. So the three candles, if you will, on the left are the spring feasts, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits. The three on the right are the fall feasts, Rosh Hashanah, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles.
Mm.
The middle is now think about this because it's Pentecost. That's your Pentecost candle. So it's called the Helper candle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, as he noted, is the Helper.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's always these things that are built into it that for me, I just go, wow, just... I stand amazed at how God reveals himself. So we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread nearly 2 months ago with Passover and First Fruits, which was Resurrection Day. It was also when the barley harvest was ready, and they went into the fields and waved a bundle of barley before God in thanks. And we talked about that as when Jesus rose from the dead, emptying Hades, and the wave offering was all of the dead from Adam all the way up to the thief on the cross, and he took them into heaven. So the day when that wave offering is made is a day of newness. Nothing from that season's harvest can be eaten until the wave offering is made. And this is a wave offering today. Tonight, tomorrow is the official one, or Sunday, if you choose. But the question is, why can't you eat anything in terms of the spiritual element of it? God established these festivals as times of divine renewal or newness. So what was forbidden becomes permissible. Hmm. Think about that. So when Jesus comes out of the grave, offers the wave offering of all those souls who had been locked away in Hades, he opened the door into eternity with God for all mankind who had been trapped in sin. We who were forbidden to draw near to God became acceptable and part of the divine harvest. See, we've been redeemed. So when you think waving, a wave offering, think freedom. Mm. So here we are arriving now at the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, or Pentecost. So it's observed on the 50th day after Passover, after seven sevens, that is 7 weeks have passed. It's called Pentecost by Christians because that's the Greek word for 50. I know Greek. And that was the common language at the time of the writing of the New Testament. You didn't even know you knew Greek, and now you know Greek. Just as first fruits is the barley harvest, 50 days later, the wheat harvest is ready. So the priests this time, they're not taking a bundle of wheat and waving it. They're taking two loaves of wheat bread with leaven this time, and waving
so
it before God.
Gluten-free.
It is not gluten-free whatsoever.
Do you have a gluten-free menu?
No, sorry. So they're waving these two loaves of bread, which seems to me kind of an ironic thing. But anyways, they're waving it to God to thank him for bringing forth a harvest. Mm. So now, the only thing I really want you to think about this year, specifically unique to this year, is we talked about this back when this year officially began in the fall, 5777. It's a jubilee year, and the last one was 1967, when, of course, they took Jerusalem. Last week was the anniversary of that. And I want to remind you, just go back into history here, back to the year 1140 to 1217. Jewish rabbi Judah ben Samuel, here's what he prophesied. This is not a Christian, but a Jewish man. When the Ottoman Turks conquer Jerusalem, they'll rule over Jerusalem for eight jubilees. That's 400 years. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, Jerusalem become no man's land for one jubilee. And then in the ninth jubilee, it'll once again come back into the possession of the Jewish nation, which would signify the beginning of the Messianic end time. So the Mamluk Bari dynasty was conquered by the Ottoman Turks in the year 1517. That was 300 years after the death of this rabbi. Mm-hmm. And then they were conquered 400 years later in 1917 by the British. Beginning in 1917, the city of Jerusalem remained a divided city for exactly 50 years, one jubilee. Jordan controlled the eastern part. A strip of land divided Jerusalem, and that strip was called the No Man's Land by both Israelis and Jordanians. Mm. It was 50 years later that the Israeli army captured the city of Jerusalem in the Six Days War on June 17th, 1967. So, that was last week. So, exactly one jubilee later, 50 years, Jerusalem returned for the first time to the control of the Jewish-Israeli ownership since the day when Jerusalem was destroyed way back in the time of Jesus that he prophesied in the year 70. So 5777 this year, and this particular Pentecost marks the 11th jubilee since that prophecy at the beginning of the Messianic Age. So this is the final feast of the jubilee year. Mm. So it just makes me, I don't know, watch and to see what God is about to do in the next, you know, either today, tomorrow, or on Sunday. Is God going to do something especially significant? Mm-hmm. Probably. So it's worth watching to see what God is doing in the land right now and over these last few months of the summertime working up to 5778.
Let's pay attention.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to.
Okay. It's Victor 91.5. Ray Haynes is in teaching on Pentecost. It's Rise and Stein. We'll post this all at the Rise and Stein and the Victory Facebook pages.